This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Hello, my name is Catherine Bliss, and I direct the Project on Global Water Policy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. I'm here this afternoon with Sarah Bish, who is a Senior Advisor for Water and Environment at UNICEF, based in New York. Sarah participated this afternoon in a panel on the implications of climate change for the WASH sector internationally. And we are here this afternoon to talk about the ways in which UNICEF will be helping communities address the coming challenges posed by climate change for their water, sanitation, and hygiene activities. Sarah, thank you for being here with us today. Let me ask you to start by providing us with a bit of an overview of the ways in which climate change is expected to affect the water, sanitation, and hygiene sectors, and what this may mean for UNICEF's operations in the countries where it works around the world.
In terms of the work of UNICEF, we focus on addressing the vulnerability and needs of women and children, and women and children are going to be the most vulnerable to any change in development and survival from climate change. In terms of the WASH sector, impact is going to come from restrictions in development and reduction in survival from an emergency context. Water security is the primary area of impact, and water security will also have impact to sanitation and hygiene programs. In terms of our programs, we look at improving access to services, behaviour change, and creating enabling environments with governments and communities. So the WASH impacts are going to cross all three areas of our action. So in terms of access to services, the potential is that there will be more floods, more droughts, which could lead to increased water quality issues, a reduction in availability of water supply, which for women and children is fundamental, because many women and children already spend a large portion of their time accessing sufficient water to feed their families. In terms of behaviour change, much of our hygiene messaging involves washing your hands with soap and water. Well, what do you do when there's no water available? We have evidence that shows that people, when they must conserve water, will use it for consumption rather than hygiene purposes. So it has implications on our programming. We need to look at programming for water conservation in communities that are going to be water scarce. In terms of the enabling environment, so the policies and plans and the strategies and the capacity building, we need to look at, do we have policies and plans that consider the implications of climate change on water availability and sanitation impacts? Do the policies and plans link together? Are they just water? Are they just sanitation? Do they consider the cross-sectoral impacts to health and nutrition? So there's multiple issues there in terms of the higher level planning. We also need to look at the capacity of our own staff to be able to develop adaptive programs, look at governments, do they have the monitoring and the education and the training programs to improve their adaptive capacity? Do communities have the adaptive capacity? What do they need? So the impact to our programming is quite extensive. Additionally, WASH has implications to our other sectors of programming, health, nutrition, protection, education. If there's not sufficient water available, there will be nutritional health impacts. If there's increased floods and droughts, there's protection issues. If there's not enough water to water or sanitation in schools, girls won't go to school. So it has multiple impacts across the sector programs as well.
Thank you. I wonder if you could say a bit about the ways in which UNICEF will be working with communities to begin to adapt and address the coming challenges related to climate change. And if you could say a few words about the geographic regions where you expect some of your work to perhaps be most intense over the coming years.
UNICEF is a community-focused organisation. A lot of our work is at the community level, building capacity and improving access at the community level, particularly in rural communities. We believe, though, that the adaptive capacity of communities is already there in some respects, because communities are already impacted by floods and droughts. Our role is to support them and recognise that those floods and droughts may come more often, and what they need to do to build some robustness within their lives to promote development and increase survival. So what we're doing is looking at the importance of engaging with communities, allowing them to be involved in solutions, particularly children. Children are very strong advocates for any sort of climate change adaptation. After all, it's their future. They are the ones that are driving a lot of the discussion, and they're telling us, we don't want to hear about the problems, we want to hear about solutions, move us forward, support us to move forward. And they're coming up with some really innovative ideas, mapping with their mobile phones, using the Wash in Schools initiative to have environmental clubs, and then they take the message back to their families and their communities. They're highly active advocates, which UNICEF is more than happy to engage with. But we also need to recognise that they need to be supported at the national level through policies and plans that supports sustainability and make sure that there is a future for children. And a lot of climate change work is happening in communities. So we're very keen to look at traditional approaches. It's not about a one-size-fits-all. It's about looking at the key vulnerabilities and risks within specific communities and what can we do to build capacity and reduce vulnerability and therefore risk.
Thank you. And now, are there particular geographic regions or countries where you see that this work will be most focused over the next coming years?
Well, UNICEF has 101 WASH programs globally, and they're across all regions. We have a lot of interest from our country offices coming out of Central America and Africa, and some really innovative work coming out of South Asia as well. So it's across the board, really, with the recognition that these problems are not isolated to certain regions. It's a global problem, and therefore all communities are going to be affected. We have some country offices that are far more engaged than others, and they're driving a lot of the innovation that's happening.
Well, thank you very much. Again, I've been speaking with Sarah Bish, Senior Advisor for Water and Environment at UNICEF, based in New York City. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, and good luck with your future work.
Thank you very much.